Welcome to the Beacon Church podcast. We love that you've tuned in. We hope this message not only inspires you, but more importantly, we pray it helps you grow closer to Jesus.
Love this time of the year. Love the Ecker. Love the show. Anyone actually going to go to the real Ecker? None of you. See, this is what I did at 8 a.m. One person put up their hand. I'm like, how does it still function? Okay. But we love putting on today. Really, today is just about creating some fun for you and your family. I know there are a lot of kids up in kids right now going, let's get out on that thing. Let's win some prizes. Let's eat some ice cream. Get our face painted. I saw a bunch of dads in the 8 a.m. get their face painted as well. Dads, yep, I know. Let the kids happen. Let it happen. Just let it happen. But if you're wondering why we actually do this, it really is just about celebrating the goodness of God, isn't it? Just being able to celebrate life in itself. And if you don't know me, my name's Az. I'm the pastor here. My wife, Beck, is actually up in kids' church right now, serving along the other kids' leaders up there, and she's pretty excited. I promised Aiden and the team leaders that I would preach really short today so the kids get maximum time out there. And the whole church says, amen, right? No, you want a short message too? Good, all right. But today's message, I really hope, just encourages us again to put a smile on our face and just to enjoy the goodness of God and the joy that God brings in our life. Because I think sometimes we can get pretty weighed down by life and forget that God has good things for us. Who actually believes that God wants to bless you? Okay, 20%, 30%. Okay, put up your hand really high if you genuinely believe God wants to bless you. Okay, hands down. Some of you in the church for the first time going, oh, this prosperity doctrine. No, this is not about, you know, cash in, cash out. This is about a God that is alive, who sees each and every one of us, that actually wants to bring blessing about in your daily life. Why? Because he loves you. Because he actually loves you, Rob, right? He actually, it's a real deal. He loves you. Last week, I actually finished my message because this whole idea of God's goodness has been rolling around in my heart since the trip Beck and I went away to the US for a couple of weeks. Just seeing God's kindness over the couple of weeks we're there. I do want to apologize in the 10 a.m. as well after last message. If you heard last week's message, you might think they had no idea what they were doing. I got off the stage and Beck goes, I had everything planned. And I said, oh, really? I thought we were just going with the flow. She goes, no, everything was booked. I'm like, all right, see, that's just me being a husband that's unorganized. Okay, so anyway, but we had a lot of stuff organized and it was a great trip and God just showed up with his kindness throughout that trip. But one of the things that stood out to me was the prayer of Jabez. At the end of this conference we went to, the guest, the speaker actually said, I'm going to pray this over each and every one of you. And it just reminded me that we can actually pray the blessings of God over our life. And I actually encourage each and every one of us to go pray this over your life in this last week. Did anyone pray the prayer of Jabez this week? Good, good, well done. You stepped out in faith and you prayed the prayer of Jabez. This is what it says. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. This guy's name literally meant suffering. Remember, imagine every day of your life knowing your name means suffering and pain. Like you're walking around, hey, pain, you're a pain, come over here. Switching mics left, right, and center. But Jabez didn't actually accept that for his life. He actually decided, you know what, my name might mean pain, I might mean suffering, but I'm actually going to claim the blessings of God and I'm actually going to seek after the heart of God and ask God to switch it on its head. And it says he prayed this prayer. Jabez cried out to God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. And God granted his request. Complete shift in his life because he actually prayed for blessing. I think sometimes here in Australia, we're kind of a bit shy on that, aren't we? Praying, bless me. It seems a bit selfish. I know a lot of people even struggle with praying to ask God for things. They don't mind praying to ask God for someone else, but asking something for themselves, it feels like there's this selfish notion involved. But God wants to bless you so that you can be a blessing to others. God actually wants you to be blessed so that you can be a blessing to others. You know, as a church, one of our values is to live generously. We can't put on things like outside there unless we have generous people, really. And there are so many blessed people in this church, and we just want to extend that blessing to our community, each and every way. Even on last week, I went to the Hub, helping the homeless here in the community, checking out what Nicole and Johan and the team are doing, handing out free food. That's a blessing because we're blessed. And God wants us to be blessed. He has good things for you. And I want you to know, I just sort of hope you walk out of here today going, having a change of mindset. If you've come in today thinking God hates you and that you have somehow got to get his favor, somehow you've got to work towards him changing his mind on you, he already loves you. He already loves you and he has his best for you. You might have been through times and trials in your life where you go, it didn't seem like God was there, but he brought you through that for a reason. He has given you a testimony to share the goodness of who he is. He got you through that season. And I love that Jabez stood on the word of God and said, you know what, God, would you please bless me? And it says that God granted that request. God hears our prayers. He wants us to pray. He wants us to ask. It says, ask and you receive, seek and you find, knock and the door will be open. It doesn't say, sit still, do nothing and hope for the best. Like literally, the word of God says, you got to get your faith active. Ask and you'll receive. Ask and you'll receive. Last week I said, pray the prayer of Jabez over your life and allow God to bless you. This week I was out at Stanthorpe. I got a text message from a person in our church saying, as we've had the most amazing blessing in our life, thank you for sharing that last week. I've been praying that and we got a major amount of debt forgiven. Thousands of dollars of debt forgiven. And there's people said, we're pensioners and that means the world to us. That's worth praising God over. Give God a clap, because this thing in this life of these people, this is a miracle. This thing has been holding them down. Something impossible for them to ever pay off because their pensioners has been forgiven. And I think sometimes we stop ourselves from opening our mouth believing, oh, maybe it can happen for someone else, but not for me. But God's like, it's available to each and every one of you. God's blessing doesn't just look like financial things, by the way. Last week, we had three miracles happen in this house, straight on the spot. People got healed, three different miracles, last week alone in church. Healings in this house. Those testimonies of people came to me after service, said, just so you know, when you pray for those things, I got healed. This happened to me. My neck got released. I had my broken toe. My toe got healed. This, and it's amazing. Like, of course God did it, because we asked. He says, ask and you receive. But sometimes we sit back and go, I'll just think about it. He wants you to be proactive in your faith. He wants you to go after the things that he has for you. He wants you to enjoy your life. You know, as I said, I've been thinking about the goodness of God and what we wanted to do with Eka Sunday. People go, why do you do that? Why do you do that whole Eka Sunday thing? That's not really your responsibility as a church. Because I believe that Christians should actually be the most fun people on the face of the planet, right? They should be full of joy, right? All of you are like, yeah, we're. Yeah, what you said, Az, yeah, we're full of joy. I'm so full of joy, I can't wait for this to finish. We're supposed to be full of joy. We have the good news of Jesus. We have the answer to life. We have the freedom to know that if we die, we don't die. We have eternity with Christ. We are an eternal being that's been brought to life because of Jesus. We received a free gift by grace, not what we did, but it's a free gift. This is good news. And you're still sitting there looking at me like this. What's he on? And how many ice creams has that guy had? You know, I think sometimes we actually have to loosen up and have fun. Just have some fun. Like, I will get you out of here at 11 o'clock on one premise. You have two ice creams each. I want you to be both double parked, okay? I want you to go up and say to those people out there, I'm getting one for my kid too, and then both just lick him, okay? When your kid comes and says, is that for me, Dad? Get your own, right? I want you to have a laugh today. I want you to just get out there, instead of rushing through life into the next thing that's going to weigh you down, have a smile. Have a laugh. Have an ice cream. Who cares about the calories? Burn them off tomorrow. To me, like, as no, you could burn. Anyway, never mind. Hey, it's good news. It's good news to follow Jesus. If you're here for the first time, you're like, what? This Jesus message is a good thing? Yeah, it's good news. Believe it or not, if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you've never decided to follow Jesus, the message is pretty simple. Before Jesus, we are orphans. We are lost. We do not have a family. We're alone. We're broken. And we have punishment and shame in our life. And Jesus came in. His goal was to make a way for God the Father to adopt you into his family. He wanted you to become a child of God. When you say, Jesus, I'm going to follow you, it also includes adoption. And with that adoption means now you've got a heavenly Father that loves you, who wants to bless you. In fact, the scripture says in 1 John 13, it says this, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that they didn't know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what will we be has not yet been known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. There's this idea of God wants to bring you into his family, then he just wants to pour out his love upon you. He wants to lavish you with his love. He wants to give you 4 ice creams, not 2. Someone said pockets. Okay. But in all seriousness, this is the beauty of God. He actually just wants to bless you. And sometimes we forget that. You know, God is the greatest dad of all time. He's a good dad. Maybe your earthly father wasn't a good dad. God the Father, he's a good dad. He knows how to pour out his blessings. Matthew 7, 9 to 11 says this, "Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" God is a good God. He wants to give you good things. He wants to bless you abundantly. He wants to bring joy into your life. He wants to lighten the load. If you walked in here today feeling weighed down by life's pressures, who's had a rough week? Now be honest with me. Who's had a rough week? Man, I know there's people in our church community who've had a rough week. There was a funeral here on Friday. People are going through stuff. But the reality is God can lighten the load. And he wants you to come to him and not do it alone. Because he's a good dad who actually wants to take the pressure off. Maybe today, if anything, you can go out of here just full of joy. Maybe the one thing you feel as you leave the room today is just, I feel lighter. I feel lighter. Psalm 55, 22 says this, "Cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you." Don't do it alone. Do it with God. Choose to have joy today. Psalm 34, 8, King David writes this, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him." Whatever your burden you brought in today, understand that God loves you and he wants to set you free. He wants to give you a joy in your heart like you've never had before. And joy, just so you know, it's just not like trying to be happy. It's a supernatural overflowing of the Spirit of God that will flow through and out of you to be a blessing to others. He wants that for you. It's the truth. It's the Word of God. Matthew 11, 28 to 30 says this, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Hey, as your pastor, I just want to remind you that Jesus is the answer to all your worries. Everything that you're going through right now, turn to Jesus, give it to him, and he will make a way. He knows how to flip things on its head. He knows how to do the impossible. That's the business that he's in, but we've got to trust him. The reality is, as Christians, as I mentioned, I think we should be the happiest people on the face of the planet. When you wake up in the morning, you breathe that air into your lungs. Understand that God has breathed that into your lungs. That's the breath of God. He's given you life. So you can take on this day with full confidence. He's already with you. He's in your lungs. He's with you. He's for you, not against you. He loves you. It's the good news. We talk about the good news often, don't we? We have the good news, but how often do we share the good news? Because sometimes the good news, you're like, but the good news also involves repentance, turning around from your life of sin, leaving the past behind, repenting, and then asking forgiveness. But the good news is that when you actually turn to God, he brings about an overflow of joy in your life, completely flips your life on its head. When you're in a place of darkness, he will bring you into a place of light. When you're in a place of brokenness, he will bring you into a place of repair. He's in the business of restoring your life, lifting up your head when you feel downtrodden. That's the Jesus we follow. And it's all free. A free gift. A free gift of God, the joy of the Lord. You know, one of my favorite stories in the Bible is actually in the Old Testament, before Jesus. A couple of thousands of years ago, before Jesus, there's a story about how the Israelites, they'd lost the word of God. They literally lost the book of law. And so if you can imagine, these Israelites used to know how to follow God, but then they lost the book, okay? Can you imagine losing the instruction book to life? Like being that guy, you have one job, the book. Where's the book? I don't know where the book is. And for a long time, generations within the Israelites, they actually found themselves just guessing. We think this is how to live our lives. We think this is what it means to follow God. But they started creating all their own kind of rules and regulations and kind of thing like that. And they had no idea what, they didn't have the blueprint. They didn't know what was right, what was wrong. They didn't know what was up, what was down. And then this high priest Ezra finds the book. He finds it. He's like, oh my gosh, guys, I found the book. And it says in the scripture in Nehemiah chapter 8, you can go read it in your own time. It says in chapter 8 that Ezra gets up and starts to read the word of God again to the people. They haven't heard this in generations. They don't know what God's actual requirements of following him is. And it says this in verse 9 to 11. The Nehemiah, the governor, Ezra the priest, and the teacher of the law of the Levites who were instructing the people said to them, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep," for all the people had been weeping as they had listened to the words of the Lord. Just prior to this moment, imagine this, you have had the truth revealed to you that you've literally been doing the opposite to what God desires of you. Like imagine in your lifetime, you thought you were a good person, but you were actually breaking God's heart. That's actually what's happening here. They didn't even know what was sin because they had never heard. And all of a sudden it's being revealed to them, hey, everything you're doing is breaking God's heart, is being disobedient to God, it's going to bring a curse on your family. Who reckons they'd be pretty repentant in that moment? I think we all would, right? And so the people, as a response, it says they praise God, but they also bowed their head to the ground and they mourned because their conviction on their heart was like, oh my gosh, we have got this so wrong. They turned to a place of mourning and weeping. And I think we could probably think that's what God would be like with us too, right? We know that in our life when we repent, repentance is literally getting a revelation that I'm a sinner, I'm broken and I need God, right? And you say, God, I am so sorry for the brokenness in my life, the sin in my life that has gone against your ways. I want to follow you. Repentance is turning around and heading in his direction, right? Now you kind of think, well, God would want you to be in that place of mourning for a long time. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Can I please forgive me? Please forgive me. And then God says, you're forgiven. No, please forgive me. You think that maybe it would have to keep going on and on and on. I have to keep saying sorry. Have you ever got a friend like that says sorry to you and you're like, it's okay. And they say sorry and you're like, please stop saying sorry. Like it's okay. And the Israelites are like this. And this is what I want to show you right now. That in verse 10, Nehemiah, yes, they were in a place of mourning. There was a place of grieving because they knew they got it wrong. But Nehemiah says this. Nehemiah said, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to the Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. In other words, Nehemiah's like, yes, you've been revealed the truth. Yes, you stuffed up. Yes, you got it wrong. And yes, it's right to bow down and say, God, I'm sorry. You got that right. But Nehemiah doesn't say, stay there and keep mourning until forever. He goes, okay, God forgives you. Get up and go and celebrate. Go and have joy in your life now. Go and have a good time. Get some good food, good drink, and party with the people because you've been set free and now you're heading in the right direction. And as followers of Jesus, that should be our response too. Instead of wallowing in our pity, we have to receive the forgiveness of God. And then as a response, because we know that God's forgiven us, he set us free. We know that our sin is no more. He says he doesn't even remember it. Our response should be joy. We should be full of joy each and every day as we go out into our world. As we go into the Redlands, we should have our heads held high going, God forgives me. He loves me. He's forgiven me. I don't have to sit in my pity anymore. Because of what Jesus did on the cross. That's the good news. That's why I can be happy every day. The joy of the Lord was their strength. And the joy of the Lord should be your strength too. God's plan was never to condemn you. He was just to set you free. If you haven't heard this before, before Jesus went to the cross, this is before he goes to the cross. This isn't after saying, hey, that's why I did that. It's before he goes to the cross. He catches up with a high priest named Nicodemus. He's been doing some miracles and Nicodemus is going, you're different. What's your plan here, Jesus? And he actually starts talking about himself. He says this in John 3, 16, 20. He says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. He's talking about himself. You believe in me, you have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, But whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict, that light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. In other words, Jesus was saying, everyone who chooses to believe in him would be set free, receive eternal life, the light switch would go on, and they could have a massive celebration knowing that they've been set free. Yeah? Come on, Rob. Bring on more Robs. Come on. You know, I think some people stop coming to Jesus because they think that they're signing up to a church. They think that they're going to have to put up with a guy named Az for the next Sunday for the rest of their lives. And they're like, God, I can't do that. Like, I know heaven sounds good, but that more sounds like hell, and I'm not sure. But the reality is, that's not what God's actually asking you to sign up to. In fact, you're not signing up to a religion. You're not signing up to a church service every Sunday. You're signing up to following a God that loves you. But not only that, Jesus explains it like this. When you come to him, he explains it like this. Hey, I'm actually inviting you to a party, a banquet, a feast that you're invited to if you want it. It's for free and it's going to be the best party you've ever gone to. Luke 14 says this. Jesus replied. He tells a story because he wants to explain what he's saying, hey, you're invited into. He says, a certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, I've just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me. Another said, I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Just got a new car, okay? 5 oxen strapped together. How fast can it go? Still another said, I've got married, so I can't come. The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town, bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind and the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you had ordered has been done. There's still room. Then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. You know what? A lot of people miss the invite from Jesus and from God. And a lot of us in this room can miss the invite because we've got more important things to do. Because if you come in, you are going to experience freedom and joy like you've never received before. I don't know if you've ever been to a Middle Eastern party, okay? If you've ever been to a wedding or a feast, you will walk out of there like so full, like you'll be like, I could be like double who I am. You know what I mean? It's the greatest thing on the earth. They know how to celebrate and party. Jesus knew what parties were like. I mean, the first miracle he did, water to wine. After 3 days of partying, he's like, let's keep going. Jesus knew. And Jesus is saying, when you come to me, I'm inviting you to the banquet so that you can have a life and life to the abundant, to the fullness that I had for you from the beginning of time. It's going to be the greatest thing you ever do. You are invited. But so many people miss it because they go, oh, I think this is better. What the world has to offer is better. I've got other things on. And so Jesus says, I don't care who you are. I'm going to invite every person from the face of the planet, poor, crippled, lame. If you want in, it's for you. It's not about how special. You are invited to the banquet today. God wants to give you joy. He wants to give you an experience in this life like you've never had before. He invites you to the table today. All you have to do is say yes. All you have to do is say yes. The greatest joy you'll ever find is not in the free ice cream after today. The Ecker Fund's great, but the gift of God is greater. So much greater. The joy of the Lord mentioned in that passage in Nehemiah will be your strength, the joy of the Lord. He was pointing out the salvation you've just experienced and the forgiveness you've experienced, that will bring you joy. You know what actually got Jesus through the cross? Got him to go to the cross? Because Jesus didn't want to go to the cross. He knew how agonizing it was. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was actually crying tears of blood. God, please take this cup from me. I don't want to, it's your will, but please don't make me do this. No man in his right mind wants to go and get crucified, have his body torn apart. But Jesus had something on his mind as he went to the cross that gave him the strength to go through with his mission. Hebrews 12:2 says this, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. For the joy that was set before him endured the cross. despising the shame, is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. What was the joy set before him? Jesus could see beyond the cross. He could see you and I free. That gave him the joy to actually go through with it. He saw that your life was so full of joy and freedom, the goodness of God, the blessing of your life. He could see that. And he was like, that is worth dying on the cross for. How many of us actually live out that joy and freedom in our lives? Jesus saw the goodness, but are we actually enjoying what God has done for us? Do we live in that freedom that Jesus went to the cross? He saw you and I, and that gave him great joy. He said, I'll do whatever it takes to make sure that they experience the freedom I have for them. And today he wants to offer you that freedom. He wants to give you that joy. So let's just bow our heads. Maybe you're here today and you've never received the free gift of salvation. The reality is, each and every one of us is broken and lost. We all need a Savior. There's nothing you and I can do to gain God's favor except what Jesus did on the cross. It's a free gift. You just have to receive it freely. And if you've never received that free gift, you're like, I want to receive Jesus Christ today. I want him to live in my heart. I want to follow him. I want to repent. I want to turn around. I want to know what this supernatural joy is like in my daily life. I want to have that life from now on. If that's you today, I just want you to raise your hand wherever you are. Yeah, man. Yeah, young lady, I see your hand. That's amazing. Is there anyone else here? Like, I need that joy. I need that joy. I need that joy. I need the revelation of Jesus Christ. I see your hand, young lady. Amazing. Amazing. Anyone else here that's just like, oh, yeah. Yeah, I see your hand. That's amazing, man. That's awesome. People go, I want the joy of the Lord. I want to know what God has for me. I want that blessing on my life. I want to receive the gift of God that is salvation, the greatest joy of all. Is there anyone else across this room from left to right? Just raise your hand because we're all going to pray in a moment. We're going to pray in a moment all together. Anyone else who just wants to come to Jesus today? All right, so we're all going to pray this prayer. We're going to pray a prayer. Those who raise their hand, we're going to pray a prayer of repentance. Repentance is, God, I'm sorry. I know I've stuffed up my life. I've made a mess of it. I'm sorry. I ask you to forgive me, and I give you my life to follow you. That's what we're going to pray together. Okay, so let's all pray out loud. Dear God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he died on the cross and he rose again. God, we repent of our life of sin. We're sorry for the things that we've done. Please forgive us and help us follow you all the days of our life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Can we give them a round of applause for those who have made that decision? There's one other group I want to pray for right now. With your eyes just bowed one last time. If your faith has become dormant and boring, and it has become a chore, and it's been heavy, and Sunday mornings are frustrating because you're like, why am I doing my religious duty? And you need the joy of the Lord again. You need to be able to wake up with that breath in your lungs going, God, you are good. I know you're good. You're for me, not against me. I pray blessing over my life and my family. Would you expand my territory? Would you go with me? Would your hand be on me? If that's you today, you need that joy back. I want you to put up your hand because I'm going to pray for it right now. That the joy of the Lord will be your strength. That the joy, yeah, hands all over the place. Put up your hand. Don't be ashamed. Just receive it. Go, yeah, I want that blessing. I want the joy. Bring back my joy to my salvation. God, I thank you for those that are lifting up their hands. They are calling out to you, God. They want their joy back. So God, I pray there'll be a spring in their step. Holy Spirit, I pray you remind them of their goodness and your faithfulness. God, I pray that you remind them of what you did on the cross for them. God, I pray for freedom in their life, that they'll be able to go out of here today with a smile on their face, knowing that you are with them every step of the way, no matter what circumstance they're going through. God, we pray for joy for Beacon Church. We pray for joy for each and every member in this place. Their joy will be a blessing to their workplaces and their workspaces and their cafes, the restaurants in the community, God, and their sports clubs. Their joy will be infectious, God, that you would shine through them, God. That, God, that they would be a witness for you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen and amen.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's message. For more information about our church, please head to beaconchurch.com.au. We look forward to welcoming you to our home.